Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, folks. This is Mike Cosentino. Steve Williamson is out this morning. He had back surgery and isn't feeling so well, so we kind of want to give a little shout-out to Steve and hope he's feeling better. But this morning we have Bob Oliphant and Ruth Wicks in the studio once again. We want to talk about... We have Gary LeMaster also.
a poor man, Steve Williamson.
That's right. The co-host. And no, we're not stuttering. That's kind of what we do around here. We want to talk about the changes, hopefully, at Yavapai College. I want to kind of, back in January, Bob Oliphant was on the board of Yavapai College, and he resigned. And Steve Williamson, bless his heart, saw in the significance of that resignation, and certainly Bob is going to speak for himself, but part of that motivation to resign from the board of Yavapai College was that the Verde campus wasn't hard for Bob to see that the Verde campus of Yavapai College was not getting a fair shake. And he published this wonderful document, which I'm looking at, of all the things that exist on the Prescott campus that do not exist on the Verde campus. And it's a long list, and it was only getting worse. And so in February of this year, after Bob's resignation, and the local print media did an editorial, the Yavapai College's 10-year plan aims to rob Verde Valley. Kind of a strong headline, but certainly they're not. Not a sensational headline, actually. That's exactly what it seemed they planned to do with the 10-year plan. I think this may be, and I'll let Bob speak for himself in a minute, this is the 10-year plan was the straw that broke the camel's back here. That 10-year plan that the college was on the verge of approving at that time, and since has approved, called for selling the Sedona campus and severely downsizing the Verde Valley campus, among other things. And we're kind of scratching our heads over here on this side of the mountain because we collect a significant amount of tax money. We're going to talk about those numbers. On a $55 million budget for the college, at least $12 million comes from the Verde Valley. And we think we're not getting a return on that. There was a big meeting at the Sedona facility here of Yavapai College, and lots of residents felt the same way. Speaker after speaker said, this isn't right. And we're talking about educational leaders and civic leaders and students and, from every level of Verde Valley society showed up at that meeting with the Yavapai College Board and let them know they were unhappy with the plans that being cut out of the deal. So let me characterize this one more time and kind of in, it's like a company that is consolidating, and they're saying, well, gee, it's certainly cheaper to, and easier for us to do everything from the home office, in this case.
More efficient.
But that's not what the point of a community college is. Community college is about outreach. A community college is about going to students and allowing people those choices to be able to change their lives or at least take new paths, whether they're right out of high school or whether they're in midlife or beyond. That's why we call it community college.
Ever since Steve and Mike called attention to this, on the radio program, we've endeared ourselves to the college administration to a great degree, and ever since then they've been in what I would say, coming from an advertising, public relations, marketing background, they've been in complete full damage control.
Absolutely,
it's a full court press to place editorials and news stories in all of the newspapers and as much of the media as they possibly can. And you could see that in the most recent Verde Independent that came out.
Tell us
yesterday.
About this questionnaire, right? We're going to get Bob and Ruth are going to tell us stuff. We want to talk about this too.
Bob and Ruth are going to tell us that everything's all hunky dory now. They've abandoned the 10-year plan and that they've saved the Sedona campus and they're going to implement all sorts of new programs on the Clarkdale campus. But
just to make sure we understand that the problem is has been for at least 5 years is that cutting programs on the Verde campus, cutting programs at the Sedona campus, literally, you know, cutting the film program, which seems like absurd on the but gone.
A very successful film program.
And so on and so forth, cutting programs, and then saying enrollment's low.
Right.
Cut the program. And then say enrollment's low that justifies everything that they want to do.
If you reduce,
that film school now is going to be moved to the Prescott campus. So it's such a poor program here, but it's going to be an excellent program there.
Well, as part of their damage control, Mike mentioned the survey. They're in this fact finding phase allegedly, and they. Had the front page story in the Verde Independent was that they are listening, they seek further public input. And so there's a survey that I went online to take. First of all, a lot of people don't have access to computers, and so that makes the survey a little difficult to manage. There should be other ways to get it out there. And you can call and get a hard copy. But the survey asks such penetrating questions as, Yavapai College should help job seekers acquire the qualifications, skills, and knowledge needed to obtain a job or to progress in their career. Do you disagree, somewhat disagree? Are you neutral, somewhat agree, or agree? I mean, the questions are all, you know, questions about what should a, they're the very essence of a community college. They're not learning anything. The only thing I learned from taking the survey was that there's this long list of things, questions they ask you have you been to the sculpture garden? Well, since the sculpture garden's in the Prescott campus, you know, more than an hour away, no, I haven't. I didn't know they had one.
It is a beautiful campus. You should tour it sometime.
And coming from an advertising, background, I know that questionnaires can be loaded to get the answer you desire. Depending on the questions you ask, you can ensure that you will get the answers you want. The only part of the survey that was of any fact finding was the last two boxes that ask you to, to fill in your thoughts on what they could do better and what changes they might make. But, frankly, I don't think many people get to that because it's the end of the survey, and it didn't look like they were even sincere about trying to get that information.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. It's kind of a stacked deck, and I've heard this from other people. My email box started filling up with these surveys that people said, this doesn't really look for the kind of information that we think the college should have. It's a stacked deck.
And as you said, they've stacked the odds against the Clarkdale and Sedona campuses by, dropping programs and then complaining about the enrollment. But when they drop a program, they don't, replace it with something else. So the enrollment is, invariably is going to decline, and as it has.
In kind of my world, what I've seen is people taking Yavapai College off of their list of options because it doesn't exist for them. It doesn't exist in Sedona to the degree they need it. It doesn't exist in Clarkdale, Cottonwood, to the degree that they need it. And so it just, boom, they just check it off the list. It is not even an option. which would, and if I went back even 6 or 7 years, it was the option if you lived here for change, for growth, for education. This, we had this local college, and by gosh, it was a, it had incredible offerings, and it reflected the kinds of things the community wanted to learn. It was just that kind, and it has done a complete reversal. Now, do we blame somebody for this? Well, we want to blame the nameless Yavapai College Board. No, we're going to name them. We want to blame the Yavapai College Administration. No, we're going to name them. Clint Ewell, Wills, thank you. Mike Lang is the PR guy that is, I believe, extremely busy doing exactly those things that you're talking about. And, but, so that we just wanted all this.
Well, you know, in some ways, there's really a disconnect between the leadership and the district governing board. And the district governing board is only, you know, supposed to do with policy and procedures and, you know, following the law kind of issues. Mm. And the leadership, I think, has not really been as upfront, maybe with the district governing board, as to what their plans are for the future. Wow. And I think, so I think a lot of these issues that we're speaking of, I think the district governing board is unaware of those issues. For example, taking jobs in the Verde campus that were full-time jobs, now making them, posting them as part-time or half-time jobs. Those are the very things that reinforce just what you said.
Exactly.
You know, and not offering any classes, any bread and butter classes that every community college offers, exactly. None at Sedona.
Yeah.
So that campus really is vacant except for the vibrant program of Ollie there. And that's the
yes.
only thing.
Absolutely. Yes. We've seen that a lot where they just took full-time positions and eliminated them. Or at least cut them to part time. I'm looking at an article here that you brought in from this fight has been going on long. So what our purpose this morning is to, one of our purposes is to get an update on what's been happening since January and February, last time in March, last time we had people on the show and discussions. But by the way, we did have, you can look this up, we'll talk about it hopefully before the end of our time today. We did have two representatives of the college administration, Mike Lang and Penny Wills, in on the show, and we could so it's not like we're trying to do this whole submarine commander thing. We certainly want to hear from the college and college people.
Our goal is to have a vibrant campus, in Clarkdale and in Sedona, and to rebuild the college campuses to where there are significant programs that are useful to the people, the residents in the Verde Valley.
Well, Bob. Let me just summarize what has happened since January. That we have had, Ruth and I and our group have had some real successes. The Sedona campus.
Name your group, if you don't mind.
Our group is Ruth.
We've changed it to the Verde Valley Community College Citizen Advocates.
Advocates, that's right.
Thank you.
Our advocates group. We changed that so there wouldn't be confusion with this new advisory group. But a real success was at least saving the Sedona campus. The administration was clearly prepared to sell that. They had the land appraised. You asked them for their appraisal number. I don't think they ever sent it to you. They
That's
said
right.
they would. They said it wasn't for selling. They said that the facility was a very poor teaching facility. They said that they'd tried for 11 years to settle a problem with their adjacent landowner, and that looked like it was impossible. They tried in 2007 to settle it. It didn't work. Clearly, that campus was going on the auction block. No question about it.
Right.
They're not going to say that, but it was. And in writing, they said, in the 10-year plan, we're going to sell it and lease space for Ollie. But there was, because of this program that began the whole discussion here in the Verde Valley, by March 4th, we had gathered significant support, and somewhere between, what would you say, Ruth, 75 to 100 citizens showed up in Sedona at the governing board meeting, which shocked the governing board. They'd never seen anything like that.
That's correct. Yes, you're right.
I think that's about right. And the citizens made very strong, very articulate arguments to why this should be saved. The local Red Rock newspaper had already joined with you in the effort to save the campus. 2 days later, there was a hearing presentation before the Sedona City Council. Once again, you had citizens who appeared at that meeting firmly, forcefully, articulately. And then the leadership in Sedona, the mayor and the members of the city council, to a person, made it clear they were not going to let this facility go. And the college got the message. 30 days from March 6th, it was announced they had suddenly reached an agreement with the adjacent landowner that for 11 years had held up access, they claimed, to the property. And that agreement was just affirmed this past Tuesday at the board meeting. But it was citizens, media, a passion, people willing to show up. Democracy, frankly, Gary, in its best form, Ruth, I really do. I think this is democracy, citizen grassroots democracy, really making a statement.
That's good to know.
So that's good news.
The next step would be the Verde campus and by association, the Sedona campus, having more self-governance.
Well, that's true. Let me go on just
a little bit. Yeah, sure.
After, and we think saving the Sedona campus is just terrific, but we have the folks in the Valley now talking about the community college for the first time since 1975 again. We have the governing board talking about the campus. We have an effort by the college, a clumsy effort in my judgment, to set up an advisory committee, obviously trying to exclude people such as Ruth and myself and Gary over here from it, and yourself.
Absolutely.
Tom.
That's right. But they are trying to set up an advisory committee. So those are terrific steps forward in terms of people becoming educated about what the situation is, because it took a lot of education, and it's not done yet.
I think the advisory committee is going to be very telling, the results of that. If they're sincere about actually, appointing, people that are not subservient to the administration and who truly represent the interests in the Verde Valley, I think they'll get some honest feedback that will be very useful. But what they do with that feedback, if they choose to get it, is the real key.
Right. Well, a question was put to Mike Lane, who's the marketing person for the college, about the focus groups and why the focus groups were promised to get some feedback as to what the group sort of came up with, the ideas that were expressed, that there was a common message. And so this lady kindly asked Mike for when were they going to get these results. And he said, you're not going to get any results. And she said, well, this is what we were promised. Well, he said that you're not going to get it because it was just a marketing thing. So my feeling is that sometimes that they create these things to diffuse a situation, which I think Gary spoke to earlier.
Damage control.
So it's very disheartening when they ask for input and then don't act upon that.
And they
input.
Have no intention of using it.
That's right. That's, it's very discouraging.
That's deceptive.
Let's be clear, too, that when you ask for input, depending, again, it's like the survey, depending on how you ask for that input, you can manipulate, and I've seen this over and over and over again in my career, you can manipulate the outcome and the results. Right. And if you can focus on certain, bits from that input to fit your already preconceived notions. So, it's like hiring a consultant and telling the consultant what you want to get from the study. And, consultants being paid will give you exactly what you want from that study.
We're listening to Bob Oliphant and Ruth Wicks this morning. Bob Oliphant is a former member of the Yavapai County Governing Board, Yavapai College, not county, Yavapai College Governing Board, and who realized that there was something rotten going on, and that his resignation from that board was a chance to spur the kind of discussion that we've been having. Now, and so we're here to talk about what's been happening since then. Obviously, we've had some meetings. We've had, like Bob just said, we saved the Sedona campus was saved, at least for now. We are seeing the college asking for more public input. Bob's board replacement, Al Filardo, there was certainly some hope. Being from Clarkdale, there was some hope that maybe he would be able to represent the community or at least the college down here a little bit better. So that's still a work in progress, I believe, and that's kind of in part where this advisory committee is coming from, with Al Filardo and the gentleman from Cornville.
Harold Harrington?
Harrington.
Yes. Right. I think they've been rather proactive on the board by asking that this issue be brought up at their retreat that they're going to hold in September, I think September the 8th, prior to the district governing board meeting, which will be held at the Verde campus on the 9th of September, and that people are invited to come to share their opinions with the board at that time.
Let me repeat that if you have an interest in this topic, September 9th on the Verde campus.
Yes. So they've asked that this be, that the staff, the college's staff research it and bring forth the best methods that possibly an independent administrative campus has been done. And then there was even maybe that we should actually, or the board would actually ask Maricopa County people to come up to see how they've done it, why they've done it, and how they've done it. So those are all very, very positive things from our representatives in the Verde Valley. But prior to this, I wanted to say that Camp Verde, we haven't really talked about, Camp Verde used to have a campus. They want to have a campus again. And there's, city council actually just recently passed a resolution that was formulated, I think, by the Sedona City Council and Rob Adams in particular, which asked the college to please look that the present method of service is not a good one. And so I applaud Camp Verde for their leadership in passing that resolution by their city council.
That is great. That's a good way to put it. The present level of service is not adequate. You need course offerings, you need courses, you need a facility, where the people live. And the complete absurdity of shutting down even nursing programs, which is what's happening on the Verde campus, where
they're
we
not
have
being shut down, they're being transferred
to
Prescott Valley.
And, well, that's only a portion there.
I think you know the being local is really important. I was having a conversation on Thursday with a teacher at Yavapai College, who teaches in Prescott and you know an adjunct, and she was telling me that when I broached the subject with her that you know she taught a course in the Clarkdale campus was asked to teach a course at the Clarkdale campus and found it so difficult to drive an hour and a half to get from her home to the Clarkdale campus. It was just overwhelming, and she would never do it again. Yet, to put things in perspective, that's exactly what the administration is asking students from this side of the mountain to do, is it should be no hardship for them to drive an hour and a half to go to Prescott Valley or Prescott campus. It's really doesn't meet the standards of a community college. A community college should serve the community, and it should be a launching pad that allows students to get some requirements out of the way if they're going on to an education at Arizona State or U of A or NAU. It should be, a transition period, and it should be a campus that makes it easy for older students who that want to go back and obtain some more expertise or education for their job or for a new job. These are people who are working during the day, and to ask them at the end of their workday to drive across the mountain to attend a class and then drive back is just asking too much.
Right. Yeah, on some maps, it's only 11 miles.
Right.
I can't. It's just like when I go to my app on my iPhone, and Sedona and Cotton would always have the same temperature, which I don't believe, which happens maybe, you know, once every 5 years. And it's because, you know, of the massive digital input, and they just have us in the same. It's the same thing with Prescott, Cottonwood, and it's 11 miles, according to Google. And who's going to argue with Google? Go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
I wanted to just talk about something you don't need a survey for. You clearly don't. And that's job training, serious job training. They know that over there, and they have responded over there to serious job training needs. And excuse me. They have built one of the finest advanced vocational training facilities in the country over there, and that's tremendous. You can get a pilot's license, a helicopter's license. You can prepare to become an air traffic controller, can work in robotics, on and on. They've really done a great job. Programs over there, and this goes to your access in the mountain barrier, programs over there are clearly accessible because there aren't mountain barriers to the residents living over there. They have already 200 high school students attending these advanced programs. Now let's shift to the Verde Valley.
Yeah.
A fact, we have no vocational training facility similar to it. B, there is real access problems for our residents. You can't drive that mountain road when it's snow-covered, icy, filled in with fog. High school students over here cannot take courses over there, period. There is no way. Now, we're talking about job training, serious job training. You don't need a survey. You don't need to speculate. It is right in front of you.
Yeah.
And they're not doing a single thing to address that issue.
That's huge.
I mean, it really, for jobs, and nationally, they're talking about the community college responsibility in this area. Statewide, they're talking about the role a community college plays in serious skills training.
Well, it's huge.
It's just enormous.
The college was the enrichment program for all the area high schools here, as it is now and has been in the Prescott area. In other words, you through dual enrollment, through various, you had where high school students had access to these great programs, which don't exist down here anymore. And that's, so I want to make it clear, you guys are the Yavapai College advocacy. The college itself has, thanks to some public pressure, begun an advisory committee. But the your committee was with, not want to have a single goal, but certainly its major goal was to explore and achieve local governance. The Maricopa County system as a model. 10 colleges in the Maricopa County system. We hear them on media, you know, Rio Salado and Mesa being the biggest one, I believe. You know, something, I don't know, tens of thousands of students. But, so how is the advocacy group doing, Bob?
I would say it's doing, very well, very well. Our group is, active in all of eastern Yavapai County. We meet on a regular basis. We have really good thinkers, I would say, in our group. We are approaching the issue politically, but in a positive fashion. Our only goal is to bring educational opportunities to people in the Verde Valley. That's our passion. That's our goal. We think the one way we can do it under existing law is very simply to rearrange the deck so that the Verde Valley has its own voice, its own speaker, its own president who can argue in budgetary matters for the priorities over here of the Verde Valley, something that you just can't do now. So that's, Ruth, where I think we're at, but what do you think? They're making good progress?
Or? Yes, and I think we've added a few new people. Steve Dockery, who's on the board for VIAC, has joined our group, but that's a very intricate part of what we're driving at, this whole CTEC program. We'd like to see CTEC here in the Verde Valley.
Come back. It was here once.
Yeah, and it was done through the schools. They use their their shop classes and stuff after, you taught classes at Mingus for a number of years for the college after school, after the regular school day at Mingus. So,
well, the career and technology, for those of you, the career and technology classes are huge and in today's world.
Yes.
I was reading a great book called The Geography of Jobs and talk about where jobs are and, all the jobs that, didn't exist when the people in this room were, primary job seekers. And CTEC does that. And it's
right.
And
one of the things that Bob failed to mention is the salaries that these people get. And I think, you and I were in the wrong business. Linemen that graduate from this school at 22 or 24 or ladies that graduate, $50,000 to $60,000 annual salary.
You're talking about career and technology.
Yes. Lineman training that they have there. So there's the jobs are very well paying jobs when they graduate from these programs. And then you just think about, and I think the city councils are beginning to realize that the college is a economic boost to their each of these areas. And as was noted, there's a high rate of poverty in many of our towns and cities. A lot of people view Sedona as being, everybody there is well educated and has lots of money. But 42% of the children in the school district are on reduced and free lunches in Sedona.
Right.
So that is not necessarily correct.
Definitely not correct.
Yeah.
It does seem like there was this abandonment going on and of the college, of Sedona and the Verde Valley by the college. But we see that seems to be slowing, and hopefully if your group is successful, how long do you think it'll take? First of all, can you run a college on 12? Can we run a college on our own tax money? Can you run a college on $12 million? I have no idea.
Well, you have $12 million in property taxes. You have tuition. You have state aid.
Oh,
you have grants. You have thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars if you were going to distribute the money fairly.
Got it.
But the issue is not equitable or even fair distribution. It is where is the need? The need exists here in the Verde Valley. It really does. I don't need a survey. I can look out here and I can see there's no vocational training facility equal to what's going on over there. I know that this summer they have a terrific college for kids program going on in Prescott. This is a wonderful, wonderful program. And so I look at Ruth and I say, well, Ruth, where's our college for kids program this summer?
It's not.
Right, it's not.
They wouldn't fund it.
Well, no, they got confused on managers and management changed at the last minute. They've got excuses. Frankly, if I were running a college, those would not be excuses I would accept.
Yeah.
But there is simply, there is
no will.
I think it's the will. You're right, Ruth. It is
will and vision. I don't think they, I don't think the leadership of the college knows what a great opportunity this is for them to create this independent administrative campus. It'll only bring glory to Yavapai College because we'll be under their umbrella.
Yeah.
So as we generate better educational opportunities here, it will help the entire county. And they can say they did it.
So what kind of feedback are you getting? Is there complete resistance from the powers that be at the college, a board, or administration to this idea?
Well, personally, I see them understanding the concept because a lot of it is education. And I actually not seeing us as like my neighbor likes to call me, a troublemaker. And so what we need to see is, and I think the board and the leadership of the college is saying, you know, this might not be a bad idea, and we can finance this and still do our capital improvement plan of $100 million and still allow this to go on in the Verde Valley and create a new garden here, you know, and say, we were the ones that did it.
Yeah. Don't you think one of the keys to it, at least in my view, is that there needs to be some administrative leadership on this side of the mountain. We have the dean for the Clarkdale campus lives in the Prescott Valley area.
And he's working hard and a good person.
And you know, he could be really great, but he's still, if you don't live in the community that you serve, it's hard to understand what's going on in that community. And I think that's been part of the problem. And I'd like to address a couple of other issues that one of the things that has come up in response is that we have all of, you know, the college has all of these online courses and so much of momentum is going to the internet that for online teaching. Well, that works for certain types of courses. It doesn't work particularly well for somebody trying to learn welding or, yeah, you know, things that are hands-on, or for learning, you know, any, you know, cooking, anything like
sure.
that, culinary arts. The other thing that I would point out is they keep, you know, hammering this side with the enrollment figures.
Yeah.
What makes those particularly questionable to me is when I did some research on what happens with community colleges, and with regard to enrollment, is that enrollment is counter-cyclical to the economy.
That's right.
So when the economy is down, you know, many people need to take new kinds of courses and new training to get the skills needed for a different job. If the economy has changed, they need to acquire new skills. Well, our enrollment in the Verde Valley campus was counter-cyclical to the counter-cyclical, you know, nature of community colleges. It, you know, when we were in the depths of the recession,
yeah,
you know, the enrollment was still dropping, and during the recovery, it's not come back.
Oops.
To me, that's an indication of a lack of proper marketing. If you know what the needs are and what people's desires are, you can tailor programs to meet those needs and you can increase enrollment if you want to. And I think that's the key part of it is I'm not sure there has been the want to. There's all sorts of positive things now, you know, with the advisor group. And if they really are sincere about it, I think it could, you know, do away with the need for our group.
It has to be real. It has to be concrete. In other words, there was the lack of offerings that caused enrollment to go down, not the other way around.
Wait.
So you need to bring back the courses. You need to bring back the offerings. You need to bring back the job training that Bob Oliphant just talked about.
I think you need to be really upfront with people. The poor staff thinks that the college is broke, and that's why they have their programs cut back. That's why they don't rehire people that have withdrawn. So when I tell the facts behind the budget that Bob really unearthed, all of a sudden they're just like floored that they don't know that the college does have money.
Yeah, the budget shell game has been
they're not very upfront. And I think it must be horrible to live a life where you're having to hide things.
Yeah.
And I would say, step out. Tell us what your will is.
I'm not sure it's necessarily that they're hiding. I think it, you know, a lot of times it can be a matter of perspective. If you want something and you view something a certain way, you're going to make all of your decisions around that viewpoint. And I think that's been more the case than anything else, to be charitable.
Well, yeah, there are fundamental issues on how to develop a community college that haven't been addressed over here. There's no plan for this community college on this side of the mountain. There's no business plan for the viticulture project. Whenever you ask for any plan of any kind, it doesn't exist. Fundamental starting point here is to put together a legitimate plan for the Verde Valley, for the Sedona campus. for the Camp Verde campus. There is none, and they have to face up, if you're going to run this place efficiently and effectively, you really have to start at ground zero. And they've never started at ground zero here. All the things they used to develop the Prescott campus, they knew what they were doing. They worked. They did not apply them over here. They just didn't.
The viticulture program, I think, is something to look closely at. It was not the result of the administration saying, let's create this viticulture program. That was something that was driven by the wine industry and by the local community.
Actually, Gary, let me tell you, in 2010, I was just looking at some of my notes from back then. Ruth and I and our group over there went to the Brewer Brothers and asked them to come, and this is the 1 acre first experiment, to level the land. And Randy Garrison got Mr. Pender to do free engineering, to just start the plot. We were working with the wine consortium and everyone, but to try to persuade the college to do something required us to go out and get people from the very beginning to volunteer this kind of work.
It's something that the administration is taking credit for now. But that aside, I think is what's really telling is they want to make it a regional, you know, viticulture program, a regional wine program. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any student housing to, you know, for people who move, you know, want to take the program, who, you know, come here from, say, New Mexico or California or, you know, anywhere else in the Southwest region, if you don't have student housing for them, yes, from Tucson, any place in Arizona, if you don't have student housing, you're not really serious, in my view, about making it a regional wine program.
Now, this room, can you do student housing on the Verde Valley campus?
You can do student housing, and you can do it in what I call the modern student housing approach, which is you don't subsidize it anymore. Oh. You build quads, you build special kinds of facilities where there's large number of people sharing a particular space, but different than the old days.
Sure.
There's no one who comes and cleans your apartment or your room. You clean it. You buy your groceries. You actually take care of yourself, but you're still on campus.
Yeah.
It's a break-even so that taxpayers don't have to subsidize it.
They have housing at the Prescott campus, and they're building new housing.
That's right. They have a $5 million renovation, beautiful housing over there, and they've anticipate a third new housing unit at about $7.5 million
on
the Prescott campus. They never consider it over here, and Gary's exactly right. If that viticulture project is to succeed, we need a business plan. We need housing. We need an awful lot.
Viticulture and enology are growing on the Verde Valley campus. We certainly want to give them their due. They got a vineyard. They have the beginnings of a winery. So you're getting both sides, and so that's going on. Go ahead, Gary.
I'd like to make an announcement on behalf of our sponsors.
Please do.
This coming Thursday morning is the Democrats of the Red Rocks breakfast, and they're going to host the candidates for Sedona City Council the program. And that's at the old Sedona Bar and Grill at 8 o'clock. The program starts at 8:30.
Doors open at 8. It's been a nice time to get breakfast. $11. The speakers begins around 8:30. This is on the Sedona City Council. And this is kind of turning out to be a pretty good race. We have lots of candidates. You want to stay tuned to Sedona Democrats of the Red Rocks and their old Sedona breakfast, because many candidates will be coming. We are going to have Fred Duvall, candidate for governor, will be here. We are going to have the Corporation Commission candidates come back. Sandra Kennedy. We are going to have the Superintendent of Public Instruction candidates come back, all here in Sedona speaking. Thanks, Bob Oliphant. Gary LeMaster, Ruth Wicks, talking about Yavapai College this morning and the lack of support that we perceive as the Prescott side giving to the Verde Valley and the Sedona campuses. We look forward to some changes from your advocacy group soon. Thank you very much.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.